So we're ready for lights, camera, and action. And the fourth, it's showtime. And the opening act is the good old staff and snake trick. Now, we've read about this already, because Moshe Rabbeinu has dealt with a staff and snake trick earlier in last week's Torah portion, but not in front of the Pharaoh. Now he's got a real audience. Yemer Hashem El Moshe, God says to Moshe, V'yel Aharon and to Aaron Lamer. This is the beginning of the fourth reading, chapter 7, verse 8. Ki yedaber aleichem parei. Should the Pharaoh, or really when the Pharaoh will speak to you, Lamer, saying, T'nu lachem moifes. Would you provide some kind of sign, some kind of wonder, something that'll make your words meaningful and real? You know, can you demonstrate any power, any ability? V'yomarta al Aaron, you, Moshe, will say to Aaron, kachas matcha, take your staff, v'hashlech lefnei parei, and throw it before the Pharaoh, yehi lasanen, may it be a snake. This verse requires much elucidation, although I have to tell you, Rashi does not provide much elucidation. He says, Rashi doesn't think it needs a lot of elucidation. I guess in Pshut Rishon Mikra, it really doesn't. He says, Rashi says, Moifes, that's a word we haven't seen before. It's the first time the word Moifes ever shows up. There'll be a lot of otot umoftim. There'll be a lot of wonders. But we never before saw the word mofet. So Rashi says, a mofet, not a muppet. A mofet is an ot, a sign. And that means to say, give me some kind of sign, demonstrate lahidia, to make known, shigesh tzorech, that there is a need for me even to listen to you, that there's, so to speak, a need or ability that backs up this messenger service that you're in. You're coming to bring somebody's message. Like, can he prove it? Is there a tzorech? Is there a need for me even to respond? The person, the one who's sending you? He says, sanin. He sanin, should be a snake. This is nachash, Rashi, this is a snake. Although Rashi in Bereshis, he translates Tanin as a water serpent, a sea serpent. But that's not what it means here. Here it means a snake. So what needs elucidation in this pasuk? First of all, why doesn't it say Ve'im yedaber aleichem? If the Pharaoh will ask for a sign. It doesn't say that. It says Ki yedaber. He'll be asking for a sign. How do we know that? Why is it necessarily so? So the Medrash Rabbah says that God was telling Moshe what to expect. He will ask for a sign. It's not an if, I'm telling you, he will. When he will, here's what you show him. So it's not even a question, like, what, im? Why does God have to prep Moshe for, here's the possibilities, here's what may unfold. God knows what's going to unfold. Why do you have to have your messenger go with anxiety, be concerned, maybe, maybe not? Key, this is what's going to be. In the words of Rabbeinu Bechaya, which are based on this Medrash Rabbah, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made known to Moshe that the Pharaoh will demand signs. And this is actually sound. It's sound halachic approach. Because when a Navi comes along, we the Jewish people, who are supposed to believe in a Navi, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, we first ask for a sign. Now, we don't ask for snakes and staffs. We ask the Navi to tell us something that will be in the future, and we have to see if it happens. That's all. That's the only sign we ask for. But the point is, there is a process of vetting a Navi. So it's perfectly normal. It's not even Pharaoh being Pharaoh. It's Pharaoh doing what's expected. Somebody comes along and says, I demand you to do this and this. Who are you? You first have to flash your badge. You first have to prove your identity. You tell me who you are, what you represent. You know, knock, knock, it's the FBI. Red, yellow, like fun. Says who? CSIS is here. Can you prove your thesis? So the first thing is we need to have some kind of demonstration. And since you can't flash a Moses badge at Pharaoh, that's not going to work. So there's got to be a sign. So that's the sign. The sign is Yehi L'sanan. Now, if in fact this pasuk is speaking about what will be, just informing Moshe, then why does it say Yehi L'sanan? It should be as a snake. It should Yehi means almost like it's a command. So the Kli Yakar suggests, well, before we go through that, I'm going to ask a different question. The different question is, whose staff is it? It's Aaron's staff? Whose staff was it last time? Why did it become Aaron's staff? We don't even know that Aaron has a staff. Unless you make the assumption everybody has a staff, but Moshe has Mat Elikim, and he was sent out on his mission with the Mat Elikim holding his staff, and now all of a sudden you tell Aaron, well, Moses already did this. He already performed this snake and staff switch. He did this transformation already. So why doesn't Moshe just... No, Moshe has to tell Aaron. And anyway, God's speaking to Moshe and Aaron. So God's speaking to Moshe and Aaron, and he says, Moshe, you tell Aaron. Something is very strange over here. And the staff is Moshe's. So the Ibn Ezra says, you're right, there was Moshe's staff. Moshe handed his Mate Elikim, his God's staff, to Aaron. And then he said to Aaron, now throw it on the ground.
Matcha.
Huh?
Matcha, like, Pshut Hashem Ekra means your staff.
Right,
it
right.
To you,
hey, Nachami, you're right, Nathan. On a level of Pshut Hashem Ekra, it certainly would seem that the staff is Moshe's. Because it says...
No, the staff is Aaron's.
Ah, so the Ibn Ezra says, after Moshe gives it to Aaron, it's called Aaron's staff. Yeah. It's almost like he gave him possession of it.
So it was originally
not a very fulfilling.
Yeah, what? You don't like it. Okay. The Kli Yakar doesn't like it either. The Kli Yakar says, it must be that Aaron had a staff too.
Sure.
It must be. And why did Aaron have a staff too? Well, because he had a staff. And here, I guess the point would be an ordinary staff, not a God's staff, holy staff that was passed down over the generations all the way to Adam Rishon, like the Medrash tells us. It's a regular staff. When God tells a regular staff to be a snake, it'll be a snake too. It doesn't have to be a fancy staff, a holy staff, any staff. So why doesn't it say, and it will be? Why does it say it should be? So the Baal HaTurim says, because after Aaron threw the staff in the ground, he had to give it a command. In front of Pharaoh, be a snake. And then he made the command, and that's when the staff turned into a snake. Whereas for Moshe Rabbeinu, he threw it on the ground and immediately became a snake. And here there was a commandment that was given. So what happened? Well, Vayavi Moshe v'Aaron and El Parai, verse 10, Moses and Aaron showed up, they arrived. Vayasuchein, they did exactly this, Kasher Tziva Hashem, as God had commanded. Vayashlech Aaron es Mateu. Lefnei Pharaoh, Lefnei Avadov, he threw the staff before the Pharaoh and his servants, Vayehi L'sanin, and it indeed became a snake. What's the emphasis of Vayehi L'sanin? It became a snake. And why do we talk about Tanin over here instead of Nachash, if after all it's a Nachash? So the Baal HaTurim says that the Pharaoh is referred to by the prophet Ezekiel, HaTanin HaGadol, the great serpent. And since Pharaoh is referred to as a great serpent, so that's why this staff turned into a serpent rather than simply a snake, because there's a corollary between the way Pharaoh viewed or saw or himself or was described in prophetic prose and what was happening over here.
Is there a distinction between the two, like in the animal kingdom? Is there such a thing, like a difference between a serpent
so,
and a snake?
So if you look in Rashi, in the Chumash Bereishis, in the beginning, Rashi says that a tanin is a dag gadol. Hataninim hagdolim, the great serpents, Rashi says, is a fish.
A fish.
Well, but in the Chumash Bereishis, it's talking about the deep, talking about the deep seas. It says God created the seas, and God created Hataninim hagdolim, and he calls Hatanin hagadol. There was a male, there was a female. There's a discussion of great, great big taninim, but that's talking about the ocean. So there Rashi says it means a great big fish. Ibn Ezra actually says it means a water snake. Rashi doesn't say that. So here, the word tanin, I guess, could mean a snake, or it could mean a water creature. Ibn Ezra creates the link between the two. Rashi doesn't. Rashi is two things. When you use the word tanin in an oceanic syntax, you're referring to a large fish. When you use the word tanin on dry land, you're referring to a snake. That's what we must say. The Kli Yakar adds that it's a very dangerous snake. Tanin would be a dangerous snake. I don't know. It's a poisonous, dangerous snake. Mm-hmm. Now, the Baal HaTurim says this is very meaningful because the Pharaoh was being shown, before this whole started, he's being shown that he, in the end, would become changed, turned around. Now he's a big snake. But the big snake ends up becoming a staff again. And the great big Pharaoh is not going to be so great and big. He'll be cut down to size when this is all over. So that's this idea of him turning, becoming, turning. At any rate, it's interesting that Rashi once again says nothing. I think it's eminently possible that Rashi doesn't comment on verse 9 because he figures a child would understand this. Why should God leave Moshe wondering what will happen? He told him what's going to happen. It's not really a question.
Is this the same Pharaoh that existed when Moshe ran away from Egypt?
This is the same Pharaoh, definitely.
He's lived that long.
He's lived that long. Well, Moshe lived that long.
Okay, you know.
He lived only a few decades longer. The question will be when you hear that Yonah went to Nineveh and met the same Pharaoh, that's when you're going to have questions. Right now, the questions aren't so big. And Rashi doesn't have to comment on this business of they came and he threw the snake. Okay, fine. So what did the Pharaoh do? That's pretty cool. Came, he says, it's a powerful opening act. Staff, snake, well. Vayikra gam pare lechachamim ulumachashvim. He also called the wise people and the sorcerers. Vayasu gam heim. They also made chartumim mitzrayim, the wizards of Egypt, belahateim, in their incantations. They did Cain. They did the same thing, which just fits very nicely with the Baal Turim, that Aaron actually had to say Yehisanin. So Aaron said Yehisanin. They said Yehisanin. Whatever they used there, abracadabra. And, okay, same thing. Who are these people, by the way? Who were these? So the Padneach Raza says, it says, Vayikra gam pare lechachamim. What's gam? So the Padneach Raza says that Pharaoh's wife was a huge sorcerer. So he just called his wife. He says, hey, honey, come show these guys a trick. Look what they're trying to impress me with. According to the Chizkuni, the Gam is like children. He called school children in Egypt. He said, look at he thinks I'm impressed with this. Kids, show them what you can do. And the kids could do this. And who were the Chachamim? Who were the Chatumim Mitzrayim? Who were these? So the Targum Yonason says that Chatumim Mitzrayim, the wizards of Egypt, these were Yonos and Yambris. Who are Yonos and Yambris? These were the star pupils of Bilam. Bilam. Bilam was an arch enemy of the Jewish people. He is the one who advised the Pharaoh to enslave the Jewish people. At some point, he decided he wasn't getting enough honor, I guess, or money, and he left Egypt. But he left behind his apprentices. And his apprentices, Yamas and Yarbus, they were doing this kind of things, and whatever. So we have different interpretations of what exactly it means. Achachomim, achashvim, wizards, scientists of Pharaoh, whatever it is. You know, we have from the Ramban and from Rashi, and elsewhere, different interpretations of what exactly this means. Use of black magic. The bottom line is, they did belahatem, Rashi says, belachashem, with their incantations. They verbalized, they whispered something, and Rashi says, "Ainly d'mayim b'mikra." Don't ask me for a similar word. Show you a similar word because there is no similar word and there is no similar phenomenon. This is the only time really it shows up in the entire scripture. So there isn't a d'mayim. Well, what you could, yesh l'damishle, the only thing you could maybe compare is where Adam and Chava are sent out of the garden, and it says there was lahat acherav amisapeches, that the entrance to the garden was guarded by the rotating blade. And the emphasis or the description is the blade which rotated, which it seemed like magic because there was nothing turning the blade. So this rotating blade seemed as if it was somehow rotating in and of itself. So it seemed magical. And really it was magical. Hashem was turning the blade, but it seemed like... So what happens? They all throw their staffs on the ground. And we have a whole snake party now. But then Aaron's snake swallows up their snakes. And this is weird stuff. That's not supposed to happen. And when that happens, you would think, uh-oh, the Pharaoh says, something's up with these guys. They do have some kind of ability that we don't have. Rashi says, "Vayivlo mata arim achas shechozav v'nasa mata." After it became a staff already, it wasn't a snake that ate snakes. A staff, a dead piece of wood, or stone, ate up all the snakes. Bola eskulan. So you would think the Pharaoh would be impressed with that, and probably he was, because the next verse is, Vayechazek lev paray v'leishom aleim. God had to harden, strengthen his heart, and he did not listen to them, kasha dibur Hashem, just exactly as God had spoken. So the fact that it says that Pharaoh had to have his heart hardened indicates that the Pharaoh said, one second, that's really weird. That's not what I expected. Rashbam says that he said, so Aaron's better at this trick than we are. So he knows how to make it look like a staff and still swallow up. All right, it doesn't mean we have to listen to him. Just because he knows how to do a trick a little better than us still doesn't mean that his word is valuable. So the Pharaoh's heart is hardened and he doesn't give in. Not impressed. And now the action is going to really start. This is just the opening act. Now the action starts. Verse 14, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, God says to Moshe, Kovid lev parei, his heart is heavy. Mein l'shalecha om, he's not sending other people. Okay, now you go find him in his compromised state when he's rushing off to the washroom. I mean, telling everybody that he's bathing with his fellow god, the Nile, in the river, and you'll catch him with his pants down, and you're going to tell him the following: this beautiful river of yours, it's soon going to be blood. And that's where the first plague begins, and you know, it's the rest is history, as they say. Okay, so let's talk about the business with this snake. And as I told you, we already had a snake show up once. And I think when you have this, you'll see this explanation that Rebbe gives us. Maybe you'll see why originally it was Moses' snake staff, and then it becomes Aaron's staff. Because actually, this is a tale of two snakes. They're not the same snakes. How do we know that? Because I'm going to look at the way the Torah describes it. Page Kuf Lamed Aleph, the Rebbe asks a question. He says, in Parsha Shmos, earlier, this is in the fourth chapter, verses 3 and 4, Mesuper, it's related there, Shala'acha Shemata Moshe, Nepach L'Nochash, after the staff of Moshe turned into a snake, right? It says, Vayashlichu Arza Vayihi L'Nochash. He threw it, interesting, it says Nochash, not Tanin. So what happened? It says, Nidresha Pa'ula Neisefes Kedei L'Hachzer Asmateo L'Kadmosim. Moshe had to do something to turn his staff, or his snake, back into a staff. As it says in the pasuk, Vayemir Hashem al Moshe, God said to Moshe, Shalach yodcha ve'echais biznovi, send forth your hand and grab the tail of the snake. And Moshe said, what? Grab the tail. Vayishlach yodei, send forth his hand, vayichazek be, he grabbed the tail, vayilu mata bechapoi. And in his hand, the writhing snake suddenly became a staff again. But here it doesn't say that. Here it doesn't say that the snake had to be turned back into a staff. In fact, here it says that they became snakes, and then it says Vayivlo Mata Aaron es Matesam. It doesn't even say anything about how Aaron's snake turned back into a staff. It just says it was a staff. So why is it that Moshe's snake needed tweaking? He needed to grab him, and only then did he turn or become a staff again, whereas Aaron's staff seems to become a snake, and then in and of itself, it seems to become a staff again. Now, it's true, here Aaron was told, say something. We don't hear anything about Moshe saying something, at least according to the Baal Turim. Mm-hmm. And there it's called a Nachash, here it's called a Tanin.
Lots of differences.
A lot of differences. So why is that? So the Rebbe says, you want to understand this tale of two snakes?
Yeah.
Then first you have to understand the anatomy of a miracle. And when you understand the anatomy of a miracle, then you'll be able to understand why the snakes are not one and the same. So let's talk about miracles. Derech achasi. There is one way of a miracle happening, which means shini muchlet shel teva hachefetz, which means that the nature, the molecular structure, if you will, the quantum physics changes. Kach shehu ma'abed lachlutin es mehusei hamakeres. It's no longer what it was. It was a piece of wood or a piece of stone, right? It was one thing. And now it's something else. Now it's the flesh and blood of a snake. Hu haypech l'chefetz shena. It becomes something else. Should you have taken that snake and put it on the microscope, you would see the quantum physics of a snake. Umeyata hizeh l'chol chefetz achem esug sheni. Had you taken Moses' snake and cut it open, it would have been a snake like any snake. It was the real deal. The staff became a snake. For real. But mikra kazeh, when that happens, when you have to revert the snake back to being a staff, it's not just a question of reversion, it's not just a question of relapsing, you need a new miracle because it's no longer the same. It was a staff, it became a snake, and now you want to turn it into a staff all over again? That requires as much effort as the first time. Because once you changed it, it's no longer a staff. What do you mean? It went back to being a snake. It was no, a staff. It was no longer a staff. Now it became a snake. Mamash ki'ilu. Ritzinu la'hafech chefetz rogel. It's no different in theory between taking a regular snake and turning him into a staff, and taking the snake that used to be a staff, that's now a snake, and turning him back into a staff is no different than taking any snake and making him into a staff. Because now he's a snake. That's one way of looking at the miracle.
So two miracles.
Was it miracle in, miracle out? Actually, yes, you would be right, it was two miracles. And that's why he needs to do something. Because the snake, the staff, became a snake. End of story. Now you want to turn that snake into a staff, a new miracle is required. Ach yesh ne derech neisefes, this is another way. And this is in the method that the chefetz is not meshaneh mehusay, that the object doesn't actually really change. Ela noitzer shinui zmani, there's a temporary change b'mar'ehu in its appearance. This is what we call virtual reality. So there's a VR shift. It's an illusion. It seems to be. It isn't really, it seems to be. Now, this is not sleight of the hand illusion of modern day magicians who actually don't do anything. Although sometimes some of these guys are so good, it certainly seems they are. They didn't really turn the hat into a rabbit. They just were so quick that they managed to somehow make their hat disappear and a rabbit appear instead. And then they claim to be turning a rabbit back into a hat. They're just good enough to somehow get rid of that rabbit, and don't ask me, I have no idea how they do it, and produce the original hat again. So this is not that kind of magic. This is actually real magic, in which you can create the appearance of something, but it isn't. It isn't what you're making the appearance of it. Mibchina mohusis, essentially speaking, it is the same object that it was before. The object didn't change. The nes causes it to look a certain way. It's an optical illusion. You're bending the light, or something like that. It seems to be something. And so each and every moment, just like virtual reality has to be powered each and every moment, this miracle requires a constant powering. The difference in the first method is the miracle happened, and that's it. Here, the miracle needs to keep happening. It needs to keep appearing like something else. And then, but mikra kazeh, inside of a nice nes, if you don't need another miracle, you don't have to do something else to put it back to what it was. Rak lahafsik is pul sanes arishin. To take several tons of metal and send them off into the air, what do you need? A strong engine, the jet engine. And what happens when the jet engine stops sucking in enormous amounts of air and pumping it out? Let's not talk about that, right? It's too scary to think. Well, then the plane can't remain in the sky. In other words, the plane being in the sky is there because every single moment there's an engine that's fueling the ability of the plane, or being fueled to work to keep the plane in the sky. So nobody would say, wow, look at this. You got that plane into the sky. I wonder how you're going to get out of the sky. You could say, I wonder how you're going to get it out of the sky safely. Good point. Because if you just stop everything and it comes crashing down, it's not going to be funny or pretty. But you need to come in for a landing. But the fact that the plane is there, it doesn't mean the plane's natural habitat has changed. The plane has lost its sense of gravity or weight, and now it floats. It means something has to be done every single moment in order to enable the plane to be there. So this second kind of miracle means it's a virtual reality. It appears to be, and it appears to be because it's constantly being made to appear to be as such. And the moment Hashem stops making it to be appear as such, what will it look like? It will look like it, original. Like it really is. It will look like the original means it will look like it real. It will look like it instead of looking like something else. Hachefetz yoshov miyad lativei amakardi. It'll return to its immediate original nature. And the Rebbe suggests this is the intrinsic difference between the two snakes, between the two miracles. In the first narrative with Moshe Rabbeinu, it actually became a snake. And why did it have to become a snake? The reason that it turned into nachash is because Moshe Rabbeinu was tafas umnasei shel nachash. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke lashon hara about the Jewish people, and lashon hara is like a snake. And so Moshe Rabbeinu behaved like a snake on his level. So God said, here's what you're behaving like, not what you look like. Here's what you're being like. You're being like a snake. If it would just look like a snake, you wouldn't get the message. Moshe Rabbeinu was shown by God, it is a snake. When you act like that, you are a snake. And therefore, the miracle had happened in that full sense. Whereas here, before the Pharaoh, what's going on here? Rashi doesn't talk about this business of, you know, the transformation into a snake because the Pharaoh is called a Tan and a Gadol. Doesn't Balaturim says that on a Pshuta Shel Mikra level? What's going on here? What lesson is the Pharaoh being taught?
You're not in charge. I'm playing games with.
He's just being given opening act. That's all. It's just an opening act. He said, "Show me an act. Show me something. Entertain me, would you? A little. Show me that. Whoever sends you out. Okay, we showed you something. Not impressed. Okay. Well, then now the action is going to begin. In other words, the Pharaoh isn't being told anything other than you demanded a sign. Fine, we'll give you a sign. When did the sign turn really serious? When Aaron's staff swallowed snakes.
What's the strategy, though? Like, isn't it like you should be impressing Pharaoh that he really should, like, at that moment, listen?
As opposed
to him saying,
Abishter's strategy was to take the Pharaoh and to transform him. And that's therefore his heart keeps getting hardened. Yeah. And every time he wants to say, okay, he gets all of a sudden this newfound infusion of strength and he says, no. And he was impressed because you know what happened? Because the staff swallowed up the other snakes. And that wasn't supposed to happen. That was actually impressive. When virtual reality can continue to behave like virtual reality, even when it's no longer assuming that virtual form, something is weird. Something's going on here. So the Pharaoh did see things which he couldn't really account for, but his heart was hardened. The point being, for Moshe Rabbeinu, the lesson was real. Hashem wanted to say to Moshe, that's not the way you should be speaking. Not that this would be a sin for me and you, but on Moshe's level. So what does God show Moshe? He says, that means being a snake. Not looking like a snake, it means being a snake. For the Pharaoh, it's an act. It's an act, that's no problem. It's got to look a certain way. In the end, the fact that it looked a certain way but still functioned off the charts did impress the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh needed an immediate infusion of strength, the hardening of hearts. Yeah, you heard of hardening of arteries, but that's the Pharaoh got a hardening of heart. That's a different story. And so he says, no. And now, what's the strategy? The strategy, my friend, is Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Orev, all of the 10 plagues, which will educate Mitzrayim and transform a place that denied God into a place that will say first, Etzba Elikim, it's a finger of God, and ultimately they will see the Yad Hashem. To be continued.